Welcome to the Countdown Podcast. We are going to review Peacemaker for you now. My name's Wayne.
Or at least the first three episodes, and maybe Wayne will talk about some other things if I get up and walk away.
Yeah, it's cool. We'll work it up.
My name's Paul, and straight into it then for this sequel series to The Suicide Squad from writer-director James Gunn, which was written and conceived for John Cena as the titular Peacemaker during the post-production on The Suicide Squad.
Yep.
It is an eight-episode series, which is currently, at the time of recording, five episodes deep. I've managed to watch three. It stars, as the aforementioned John Cena, Danielle Brooks, Freddie Stromer, Chuck Woody, Iwuji, Jennifer Holland, Steve Agee, and Robert Patrick. It's obviously based on characters from DC. It's the first DCEU TV series, I doth believe. The episodes run for between 39 and 46 minutes, and it's mostly received positive reviews, but we'll come back to that in a moment. Wayne, what's it about?
Okay, after recovering from the injuries he suffered during the events of The Suicide Squad, Christopher Smith, or Peacemaker, is forced to join this like mysterious like Argus Black Ops government agency on a project called Project Butterfly, and they are on a mission to, shall we say, save the world by eradicating a certain thing, which I won't spoil. It is just Peacemaker after The Suicide Squad.
All right. Rotten Tomatoes has this as an approval rating of 94%.
Wow.
With an average score of 7.7 out of 10, and
that's
Metacritic,
huge.
69 out of 100, indicating generally favorable reviews. So we're going to find out where we fall on this. But if you have heard my take on The Suicide Squad, and in terms of where
like
it fell for me, you're probably not going to be at all surprised by my reaction to this one.
I'm
Wayne,
very intrigued.
What did you think of Peacemaker?
Okay, it's piss funny. So Peacemaker is piss funny, okay? The start of it, because, you know, I didn't know what to expect, and it definitely wasn't what I expected, but I am pleasantly surprised. By the way, this is going to be spoilery. This whole thing, the whole review will be spoilery, okay?
No, let's give general impressions, then we'll hit the button.
Okay, all right.
As always, okay?
All right, fine.
And the spoilers will, at least while I'm around, will only be till episode three.
Yeah.
And then if Wayne wants to do a couple more minutes about
we'll give you a bit more generally so you can decide whether to watch it or not.
Yeah.
But my recommendation is absolutely do watch it because it's irreverent as hell. At the beginning, there's a conversation between him and a janitor, the very first scene.
Great setup.
So funny. It's like, Aquaman fucks fish and shit. He's like, what the fuck is this? This is hilarious. It's a very R-rated take on DC. They'll talk all about fucking Batman and this, that, and other people saying he's an asshole and this. Fucking hilarious, man. And I really hope the DC TV stuff goes this way. Because this is, if they go like Marvel and make it like the, not Daredevil, but like all their TV shows, they're still very PG kind of shows. This makes it R-rated DC TV. I probably have never seen and may never see better opening credits than this TV show.
Yeah. Okay. Well, before we get to particulars, then maybe I'll give my
bring it on.
You're right. The opening credits really do grow on you. I liked it the first time.
Time I went, oh, this is amazing, and I already knew that I would never skip it.
And the song is brilliant.
It's wicked
hair
metal.
Which is the whole aesthetic right through the whole show.
Yeah. Hair metal bands.
So I'm all on board with that. Not that I listen to hair metal a lot, but I think it fits this show.
But it's the obscure shit you've never heard about.
I'd never heard of a single song.
Cinderella, who's that? I don't know.
Right? In this show. I think the show's really fun. Now, I realize you have to have a certain sick sense of humor to consider it that way.
Like you do with any James Gunn thing.
But I am so on James Gunn's wavelength. I said The Suicide Squad feels like it was made for me. This show, not quite like a glove as close. So there's some things about this show that I don't think work perfectly.
Yeah,
and I think some of the comedy really misses at times. But when it hits well. So it throws a lot at you, and I don't think all of it hits. There's moments where jokes hang awkwardly for me. I'm like, ooh,
really?
That one didn't work.
Okay, I never run into it that hard. I'm not saying every single thing fires, but I think that what's interesting about the show, the reason it wasn't what I expected, because I didn't know what to expect, really. There are some very strong sort of familial themes in the show, which I wouldn't have expected. And you can tell that the parallels he plays between two characters, for example, a father-son, and two other characters, a mother and a daughter. It is actually very well written, but it's written in that haggard, sort of jagged James Gunn style where there's still rude shit happening at every turn, which is what I really like. They're making like Louis C.K. jokes. They're making references. Mm-hmm. They're like, and I laugh my ass off at a lot of these things because I can't believe they're writing an entire passage about this, you know? And so it's really cool.
I think James Gunn wrote every episode. He's directed five of the eight, so it's all James
Gunn.
Can
be done, man. Can be done.
All him. Look, I think the other thing to emphasize is it's rowdy, it's raucous, it's very, very silly. Like, if you want your TV shows grounded in gritty realism, this is not the show for you.
It's a lot like Suicide Squad, right?
Exactly. If you like Suicide Squad, The Suicide Squad, sorry, then this is absolutely right up your alley. Do check it out.
That's unrealistic. Yeah, it's unrealistic in a way that you don't mind because it's so crazy and it's so like rude and it's so like violent.
In this version of DCEU, or at least of this universe, you know, big huge starfish walk around, you know, yes. And this is more of the same kind of thing is what I'll say.
Agreed. I will tell you this though, right? So the one thing I will say is that most of the characters I find unlikable. Like Peacemaker himself, I don't mind, but only in spite of himself being such a like.
Okay. Well, they have had moments where we're probably dipping into spoilers. Careful where they are trying to soften him from his stance in the film.
Absolutely, they're trying to explain why in the movie he killed Rick Flagg.
Come back to that. I think that's good, and they did a good job. But he's still a dickhead. He's still an asshole.
Yeah, he's still a dickhead.
And he's still, you know, he makes fun of people at times where it's like. Just leave off, man.
But it's funny when he does.
Sometimes.
It's funny when he does, man. Like, but here's the thing. John Cena, first of all, I really like John Cena. I reckon he's a very leading man motherfucker who, considering he was, you know, wrestler and whatever and this and that, he eked his way up through, like, Amy Schumer movies to now become a leading man. He's really got this quite, like...
I don't understand how The Rock is so big and John Cena isn't. Does John Cena, is he just lacking that indefinable charm element?
What it is John Cena is funnier than he is charming, whereas The Rock is more charming than he is funny.
Right. Okay.
So I think it's a wider appeal. But to say that, like, I mean, my favorite guy in the film is a character called Vigilante.
In the series.
Sorry, in the show.
Ah, interesting. Because he's my least favorite.
Oh, my God. Well, we'll talk in a minute. But, like, I actually like him. I actually like his character. I think he's very funny, and I enjoy his earnestness. So that's why I like him. It's probably why Paul hates him. But overall, I can tell you this. I know I like a show and that it's good enough, at least, when I'm looking forward to the next episode.
Well, you burned through all five episodes. We said we were going to do review three.
Yeah.
That's as far as I got.
As soon as it's available, I'm like,
four, five, fuck yeah.
Boom, as soon as it's available, I watch it, man.
Can I say, technically speaking, I think this is some nice direction in this TV show as well. A couple of the fight scenes are really well edited and put together. And you always know your place. And there's some sort of wacky camera angles that really like, oh, cool, this is a comic book. Yeah. It's a TV show. And I think the effects are surprisingly good. Like,
I agree.
Eagly.
Like, whoever does the eagly animation is amazing.
I mean, it's not realistic because it's doing things that aren't realistic for an animal to do, but it still looks great.
It's as though the animal is as close as he can get to having an expression on its face and moving in a way that suggests what he wants. Very, very impressive.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, this is way better than it has any right
so
to be.
So good.
I know it's a HBO Max show and whatever else, so
they've got
some budget.
He's got the Marvel side, yeah.
Well, DC behind it. Warner Brothers behind it.
DC, exactly.
Look, this is an absolute hearty recommend. I'm enjoying it. I'm keen to see where
it goes.
I'm
surprised that you are.
Really?
I don't know. I guess you like Suicide Squad, so it wasn't a big jump, but this is not the same. This is more heartfelt, more...
Remember, I'm two episodes behind you.
That's
so
right.
Maybe
it gets deeper as it goes.
Yeah, well, I would expect it to be. So, but I'm keen. I will be jumping on to the next episode as soon as possible. So, yeah, I thoroughly recommend it. Like I said, some of the comedy doesn't quite work, but... And I was a little bit annoyed about something which got rectified by the end of episode three, so I'm glad.
All right, let's talk about it then.
Yeah, let's get into all that kind of stuff, the plot-wise, on the other side of the spoilers.
You can't handle the truth!
And you can't handle the truth if you think this show is garbage. Because the reality is, it's exactly what James Gunn brings. It's gross, it's over the
top. It's gross.
It goes for the lowest common denominator joke time and again. And yet it adds some great action and interesting characters, except for Vigilante, who I think is try hard and I'm really, really over
it. You have got to be kidding me, man. All right, listen up, man. Check it out, right? First of all, let's deal with this. Peacemaker smells panties. Like this. I was like, oh my God, they made him smell the panties. I was like,
I'm watching this show with my wife. And at that point, she's like, ugh.
And at that point, I'm like, oh no. But I was sitting there going, you know what? He doesn't mind. James Gunn doesn't mind going, yeah, fuck it. Make him the filthiest cunt ever, right? Because it's all cool.
Yeah, they're in jail for however long was it? 4 years, I think they said. Yeah. And you know, he gets out and he bangs this 80s hair metal chick.
Yeah.
You know, who's obviously got a banging bod and whatever else after he strikes out with, what's her name? The blonde chick on the
Harcourt.
Team.
Harcourt,
yeah.
Yes.
I like how hardcore she is. I mean, she's not likable, but she's really good at what she does.
All right, dude. I've got a note here that happens in episode three, and the note says, this can no longer go unmentioned. Harcourt is super fine. In the opening credits where she's dancing.
Yep.
See the arms?
Not really.
Her arms are just check out her arms. James Gunn even talked about it. He said she's got these amazing arms, and she's actually a dancer, and that's why they put her a little bit more in the opening credits than anything else. But she's
I just assume they put people in the opening credits like based on how important they are to the story.
No, because fucking the police chief guy is in there. You don't even know him. You haven't even met him yet, right? No. So he's in there.
No,
so.
No, but like any major character gets a bit. But the more often they're shown, the more important
they
are.
Yeah, there's definitely a top five or whatever. But yeah, she's awesome. I love. Actually, I don't like her
as a person.
As a person, but she's playing. But the character is really like horrendous because they're all fucking cunts, right?
Well, I mean, she kills that body security guard.
Yes, she kills the guy, and she just.
So no, the African American girl is Amanda Waller's daughter.
Amanda Waller's daughter, which was a good twist, right? I actually had the biggest trouble with her. I actually was like. It's at the beginning, she's awkward, and like I don't think she's written as well as the other people, or at least she's not playing it
I'm
as well.
I'm not sure
as the
how she comes out to be like that if you're actually Amanda Waller's daughter, which is why it was such a shock.
That's why. And also, she's purported by Amanda Waller, say, you've got a natural God-given talent to be an agent, but she's been shit so far.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
won't fire a gun, won't do this.
Yeah, it doesn't really work for me. So I'm sitting there, and plus she's a little bit annoying. Now, occasionally she comes back. Where like she calls him sweet cheeks and stuff like that. And, like that was a good line. But a lot of the time she's just rambling and it annoys the piss out of me. So that she's probably I'm warming to her, but it's one of the problems I had with it. But you know, I can't believe you don't like the fucking vigilante character.
Not even remotely.
See, here's the thing. So all the way through, he's like this simp sort of guy, right? And then you find out halfway or in the third. Has he been unmasked for you yet?
Yeah, at the end of episode 3.
So you see that he's Freddy Stromer, and he's the guy that you see in the opening.
I don't know who Freddy Stromer is.
I don't know him, but like he's at the beginning. There's that guy working in the diner thing, and he's and it turns out to be him. Now he's pissed funny to me. Like when he finally gets unmasked, he like starts making all these faces.
Yeah, that
like,
was funny.
If I keep changing my expression, you won't know what I look like, and it was hilarious. Man, I was like,
that was funny.
That was funny. So I'm telling you, man, that guy's the shit. I love him.
And the other bit where he just took the gun and started shooting the butterflies. That was okay. I see his point, but he's trying looking upness to Peacemaker, who's not someone that you look up to.
No,
even
but
if
that's
you were
why
a sociopath.
So
it's
like, he's a sociopath. He says I don't actually have emotions, like because I'm insane, and that's why I can kill people. But he's actually really good at killing people, and he's a skinny little cunt. So that's a bit cool as well, man. Yeah. Like, he can beat up motherfuckers in a prison on his own.
Like he's behind the bin and he's looking at him. I'm like, that's not funny.
That's fine.
Not
that's
funny
fine.
At all.
Oh, okay. All right.
Now, we haven't spoken at all about Peacemaker's dad. So this is what they're also doing is they're showing that he is the way that he was in the Suicide Squad because of his father. Now, I've got a couple of questions here. So Robert Patrick is clearly some kind of ex-superhero.
Okay, not superhero.
Or villain? I don't know.
In the DC, there's a villain in DC Comics called White Dragon.
Right.
And he is actually like a Klansman and he's a villain.
Oh, yeah, he's clearly a white supremacist. We see that at the end of episode 2.
And if you see, there's one scene in here where he's in the dad's fucking like...
But it goes into his alternate dimension.
Yes, it's an alternate dimension.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the whole
And he's like, here's these helmets that are different things, including the sonic boom, which we see used to very good effect at the
that
end
was
of
cool.
the first episode. I'm like, whoa, where's this come from?
Yeah, in the DC, well, I'm not sure, I don't know much about this character, but the my understanding is that white dragon, and he was in there and he looked at this costume, which looked like a devil, sort of a red and white devil costume. Right. That's actually the his super villain costume. So that's why he went to the prison and all those white, those Nazi looking dudes fucking
Yeah, they all fell at their knees right? and started, which has not been picked up on where I'm at the end of episode 3.
It's come along. So that's why it actually is, that's who he is. And it is a very interesting, weird, kind of like quite deep cuts to have, all right, so the hero or the whatever of the story, Peacemaker, his dad is a racist white supremacist. Yep. And he's trying to,
he's always trying to impress his father.
Trying to impress his dad, right? So, and that's why he's like a sad little sort of dude. But I think in between all of those things, he's really funny, man. Like there's an episode, you haven't seen an episode yet, but like he gets angry in that they framed his dad with the car.
Not for me.
Well, okay. But he says, basically just rattles off this list of people he could have gotten in the meantime. He's like, it could have been this girl. It could have been Ariana Grande. It could have been this and that. Could have been the cunts from Riverdale. He says shit like that in there. I'm like, this is fucking hilarious, man.
That's Wayne's sense of humor to a T.
Oh, come on. It was piss funny. And I like how everyone's not invulnerable at this show. Like you can see him jumping around and getting fucked up. And, you know, it's like.
When he's trying to escape.
Yeah, he's trying to escape from the. This is all good shit, man.
It sounds like you're really high on this one.
I really am. And I love, like, this is James Gunn telling a story about father and son. Again, at the same time, the mother and daughter with Amanda Waller.
Well, that's how they've really softened him from his position by showing, well, he grew up with this. What hope did he have? And also showing him being remorseful about killing Rick Flag.
Rick Flag, very important, because that was like, holy shit.
In a very over-the-top kind of crazy, I'm like, okay, kind of way.
Well, that was cool, that scene, because he was crying and shit like that. And then the eagle and the thing rolled up to him.
The vigilante appeared. He's like, are you crying? What's going on?
And that's when the Louis C.K. dick jokes happened.
Look, I think this show works. I'm, as I said, very keen to see where it goes from here. I just wish some of the it swings to the fences, and sometimes it makes it and sometimes it doesn't. Oh, we should also talk about the butterflies, which actually end up being these parasitic real things that are inside people.
That's right. And there's a really great the next two episodes, there are going to be moments that I think you'll really like, because it gets very violent very quick and it's like, oh shit. And what I'll say about this show is that I think, as much as I'm enjoying it now, and I really am, I don't think it's the type of show I'm going to rewatch. Like, it's probably good enough.
How many TV shows have you rewatched?
To be fair, I hardly ever do.
For me, it's Scrubs and Buffy, and that's it.
Me, it's Friends, Seinfeld, fucking whatever else.
It's not one that's going to just be on fucking Seven, Mate, whenever you look.
That's true. That's true. I rewatch Justified occasionally. I rewatch, like, Suits occasionally, things like that, you know? So, yeah.
So, a few more than me, potentially. The other thing I wanted to sort of just very briefly sort of touch on is how good Robert Patrick is in his role.
He's so hateful. Like, I hate him.
Like, he's just awful.
Because he's just flat out racist. He's flat out a prick. He's flat out like, I'll fucking kill this guy. I'll flat out hate my son and say the worst things to him. And he's the protagonist, you know? So it's like, I love that he stole all of his helmets. And now he's got like all this sort of bag of tricks. He's actually literally got.
Is he stealing his helmets, or is he taking them and making them? I got the impression he made them, because this one's Sonic Boom. This one.
Oh no, he made those, but then Peacemaker stole them all from his house and put them in a bag.
Oh, he stole them all, did he?
Yeah, he took one initially, but then he stole all of them.
Right? I thought he just took the Sonic Boom one and was allowed to.
Might be in a subsequent episode. Sorry, but yeah, sorry.
Look, Wayne, do you want to talk about episode 4 and 5? Should I get out of here?
No, it's not. No, I don't think there's any point in doing that, because in the end, like, I think there's another 3 episodes going, right? All I will tell you is that episode 5 has a really good cliffhanger ending, and that's the current one at time of recording. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh my God, and they're making me wait. And I'm sitting there going, you know what? I really do want to see that next episode. So this is old school, like, you got to wait a whole week, man.
I think I've been trained in this day and age of binging to not enjoy that anymore, to a point.
I'm trying to continue to enjoy it, because I haven't got a choice. If it's a show I like, I will come after it when it drops.
I'd probably be quite happy now to stop where I've stopped and wait for the show to finish, and then have the 5 eps there to power through as quickly as I can.
You should watch the next 2. I reckon. Who knows? And Paul's couple watching this with his wife.
I am. So it's a little bit of it. There's an element to that. Restricted.
I'm actually more nervous when I'm watching with someone, because I'm very worried about them enjoying it. And so I tend to, I don't know, you know, like that. I'd rather watch it alone a lot, and then I only have to decide whether I like it.
Yeah, sure, I get what you're
saying. I'm that guy, though.
But when you live with someone, you ain't got much choice in that regard.
Exactly. So that's what I'm saying. But I'm saying it might affect your viewing pleasure. If she's not enjoying it as much, you may not.
Well, we're going to do Yellow Jackets at a certain point in the future, and we're almost done with that. And I, through the week, watched the first half of the new Dexter series, because I just went, bam, each night after everyone else went to bed, bam. Episode.
I think it's eminently like sort of like bingeable.
Whereas if I was watching this show and having to wait week for week, I think I would have lost interest.
I understand. It's definitely a danger. There's a few shows like that I took off and I'm like, shit, I wish I'd... And now I get to rewatch all the stuff that I rewatched before to really understand it, and I couldn't be bothered doing it.
Anyway, all right. So that's the differences in terms of a drop everything all at once versus a spoon feed you one bit at a time. We haven't even talked about reviewing Boba Fett yet. On the show.
We're going to do that.
I haven't even started, but I've heard some really negative feedback about
Everyone is shitting on Boba Fett.
Yep.
I'm not one of those people.
Okay.
I think it's
not to give it away. Don't give it away.
Yeah, okay.
Let's wait to, if we do cover it, we won't until the end of the series, I think.
Oh, I think we should. Star Wars, man.
Yeah. All right, well, that's our review on Peacemaker, but we want to give some scores to wrap it up. And any final thoughts, Wayne? What are you giving the show?
Good question. I haven't even thought about it till now, but I guess...
Why would you think about it till now when we do this every fucking week?
70. Played up 70.
Wow, that's low given how high you've been talking it up.
Maybe my radar is off.
Wow. I'm giving this a 75. Once again, proving that the year 2022 is the year of Wayne
being... No, it's not. I'm just trying to think it over, motherfuckers. Yeah, I think I'm comfortable with 70. And you like 75 better. See, my scale is way off here, man. I thought you'd be like, eh. Nah.
Wayne Zingatron.
I think what the problem is...
What did you have when you turned 47, man?
I think what happened is, right, because I've been hanging on with you too much, right, I tend to go harsh with my actual score. I'll still talk the way I like it, but...
Like, the way you were talking, I thought you'd give this 85. Like,
No, I, for some reason it's 70 still, but I really, I think bitch, I liked it more please. Than you. Yeah, I don't know.
No, he didn't. Well, it sounded like he did.
For some reason, I'm having a problem giving it above 80.
I'm explaining
80.
Why my thing dropped below 80, because I didn't think the comedy's great, Vigilante annoys me and whatever else. But overall, I'm right in on the show and enjoying it a great deal, so 75.
What's bugging me about it? It might be that I don't like anyone on the show that's hitting me hard.
Right. Well.
Except for Vigilante.
What a twist.
I know. It's weird. Look, if you said 80, I'd be like, yeah, it seems a little high. That's all. So anyway, okay.
Well,
there you are.
2022, the year of Wayne Negatron continues. We're still waiting for his submission for the soundboard.
Bollocks.
So we can have
yeah, all right,
appropriate
that's
sound.
Oh, yeah, I got to work on that. Okay, cool.
Well, anyway, you can let us know what you think about this review, Peacemaker in general, or indeed everything about the show. At our new website, thecountdownpodcast.com. Head straight there, and it has all links to everywhere else that you need to go, including Podbean, where we host, our merch store, and Patreon.
Word.
Well. So it's just everything. Yeah, Twitter, Facebook, it's all there.
There we go.
Fuck yeah, man. All right, that's it from us today. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been Soundboard.
All of your arguments are like my asshole, yeah, man.
Okay. The moment that you say my radar is off.
Fuck off.
Catch you next time. See ya. What's going on?